podcast from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Office of National Mission. This is God's Mission Here.
Welcome to the God's Mission Here podcast. I'm Andy Becker, the manager of family discipleship for the Office of National Mission. This is the season we are talking about family discipleship. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm here with my co-host, Stephanie Neugebauer, and our guest today is the Reverend Dan Galschut. Dan, welcome. Would you please introduce yourself for our listeners?
Thanks so much for inviting me onto the podcast. I'm looking forward to our conversation about family ministry. Since you asked me to introduce myself and we're talking about family, I'll start there. I'm married to Melissa. We've been married 24 years or so, just a few weeks shy, and the Lord has blessed us with five children. In addition to being a husband and a father, I work at the International Center as the Executive Director for the Office of National Mission. I've been serving in this role for 2 years. Before that, I spent 20 years in Kansas on Kansas District staff and serving two congregations in the Kansas District.
Dan, let's start out with a basic question, but it might not be so basic for you. What got you excited or interested in family discipleship, family ministry?
As I think about that, I'd really have to take you back to a little bit of my story, and really it picks up around 15 years ago. My oldest child is 20, but really I got very invested in family ministry and family discipleship around 15 years ago. My wife and I had been raising our daughter for 5 years at that point in time and a son for about a year and a half. And we had been doing some things as parents trying to raise our children in the faith. So we certainly prayed with our children. We shared the gospel with them every night. And in addition to that, we also sang hymns to our children. But we weren't maybe as intentional as I think we should have been at that point in time. And then a few things happened that really kind of increased my urgency for family discipleship and family ministry. So this was around 2010. The first thing that I realized, I was in my second call as a pastor serving my second congregation. And my congregation had been through some challenges, and I was looking at what was going around me in the congregation, and then I started to look at the broader church, the LCMS. First, I just started to look kind of across Topeka, Kansas, which is where I was located, and then I started to look kind of even more broadly across the LCMS, and then I started to look more broadly across the American church, and I realized that some of the things that I had grown up assuming weren't working the way I thought they worked. And so that was part of it. And then another thing that happened or had been happening for a few years, I'd been serving as a pastor for 5 or 6 years at this point. I started to realize that probably the most common conversation I was having with members of my congregation, it would involve a parent of adult children, say they were in their 60s or so. They were talking to me about the challenges they were facing in their own life and the frustrations that they had and the heartache they had because their adult children were not regularly attending or participating in church. So that was kind of another factor for me. And then a third factor for me is I was at a conference, and the speaker at this conference was talking about a book that had recently been released at that point in time. It was Ken Ham's Already Gone book. And I hadn't heard much about the book at this point in time, but the speaker was incredibly good, incredibly engaging, very thought-provoking. And he just said something about the study that Ken Ham's book had undertaken regarding millennials and basically their participation in the church. So I was paying, you know, really good attention to the speaker. Again, he was a great speaker. And he said, oh, I've looked into the study that Ken Ham did for his book Already Gone, and I found that the study's right. They're, you know, they approach it the right way. They kind of vetted it the right way. And so I don't know what to do with the findings, but the study's right. And in terms of it was done appropriately. And then he went into what the finding was. And this is what absolutely shocked me. He said that in Ken Ham's Already Gone book, that one of the things that was discovered was that for millennials, if they participated in Sunday school as children, they were actually less likely to be involved in the church as adults and as they were raising their children. And I was just astounded by this information. Again, that gets back into, I had some assumptions about how things were working. And as that kind of got stripped away from me, then I started to really think about okay, so if my assumptions were wrong, where do I turn? Well, obviously I turn to God's word, and God's word points us to his gift to us in the family and the importance that parents play in teaching the faith to their children. And then as I started to dig and talk to friends and other pastors, I just became more and more convinced that family ministry, family discipleship needed to be much more a part of our conversation in the church.
So Dan, can you just unpack that just a little bit more for us? So the findings said that if they were in Sunday school, they were more likely not to be in church as adults. I know the answer to this question, but can you unpack that for our listeners?
I don't know the answer to this question.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So meaning that if they went to Sunday school as a child, so if they attended church in Sunday school, the going to Sunday school didn't seem to have the return that we would expect, right? The thinking would be that, you know, Sunday school helps us in our faith because we learn more of God's word. We have another adult sharing God's word with us, which seems to be, you know, something that would be very worthwhile for helping people be retained into the faith, living out the faith throughout their life. And yet, according to the Already Gone book, the opposite was true. And again, I was astounded, and just it's made me start to question a lot of my assumptions.
And so where did that lead you?
Yeah. So honestly, it led me to a little bit of despair. You know, we'll talk about hope probably later on because it's one of the things I like to talk about most. But what I started to realize is I had put some of my hopes in, you know, whether it was my ability or particular programs or initiatives of my church or the churches that I was a part of when I was younger. And I realized that those weren't the answer. And so again, that drove me back into God's word. It drove me into a lot of conversations with a lot of my friends. And many of those conversations were with fellow pastors in the Kansas district. The pastors who I was especially close with, we all got together for a few retreats, and we started to talk about some of the challenges we were all experiencing, some of the solutions that we were thinking might be out there but weren't working. And then we just started to drive into a lot more of, okay, God's given us the family. God's made it clear that he wants parents to pass on the faith, to teach the faith to the children. And we see that not only in places like Deuteronomy 6, but one place that I became, you know, especially convicted by this was turning to the Large Catechism and what Martin Luther says about the role of parents in the Large Catechism in the Fourth Commandment. And one of the things I would say is just foundational for my understanding and really I think foundational for family ministry is Luther just assumes, he calls it out right away, but he just assumes parents are God's representative. And the thing is if you're going to represent somebody else, that's going to involve speaking, right? Parents have to talk for God. He's given them that authority. He wants parents to speak his word to the children he's given to parents. And that really was what led me into this family ministry, family discipleship pathway.
As good as a church program is, and I think this is where Ken Ham's study was going, right? As good as a church program is, if it's not being reinforced, talked about throughout the week, you know, it didn't land home for those kids into adult.
Absolutely. I think, you know, that's part of it. And you talk about the reinforcement. And I would maybe just say that the reinforcement really comes from the Sunday school teachers and the
absolutely
midweek programs, right? It actually begins with parents and you know, then the called pastor, right? Yeah. These are the authorities. These are the representatives that God has clearly established in the lives of young people. It starts there and then everybody else reinforces around that. Yeah. So that's certainly part of what I'd say. And it's just so important to understand how God set up the family and this treasure that he's given to us as parents, that we get to represent him and we get to speak for him. And then you think about how great it is what we get to speak to our children, right? That they're loved and treasured beyond anything else in this world, that God loves them so much that he gave up his son to die on the cross for their sins and be raised for their new life. It's actually, sure, it's a responsibility, but it's a privilege and a treasure as well.
Absolutely. So you've used the term, and we talked about it a little bit in our first episode here too, but family ministry, family discipleship. Can you just unpack those just a little bit from how you use those or how you like to think about that?
Yeah, when I think of family discipleship, I think of discipleship in general. So I think of Matthew 28. And I know a lot of times people in our church might refer to it as catechesis as well. I'm certainly happy to use either catechesis or discipleship, but I think this is really the foundational work of the family. Again, if you go to Luther in the Fourth Commandment of the Large Catechism, he basically says the most important thing, more than feeding your children even, is giving them this word, right? And we all know how important it is to feed our children, right? We have to do it 3 times a day plus snacks. And my kids eat a lot of snacks. I don't know about you.
Currently snacking.
So, you know, that's obviously an important job of the parent. And then Luther just says so clearly, and yet it's even more importantly to show up and speak for God and to give your kids God's word and God's truth and give them the message of Jesus Christ.
So why is that so relevant to the church right now? We've been talking around that, but just to, maybe to put a fine point on that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'd say that as we look at some of the struggles that we find in the church, we find that this is actually the solution that God gives to us, right? And you know, one of the things I came to realize with some life experience, and it's not just here, it's in other ways as well, but sometimes we look for solutions in the wrong place. And I think it's so important for us to look for solutions in the right place. So that just drives us back to God's word. Again, you know, whether it's Deuteronomy 6 or, you know, the book of Acts about, you know, teaching your children as well and sharing God's word with the next generation, you get that certainly as well. You know, then you can go to, you know, Ephesians 6 as well, all Absolutely. Kinds of places. It's all over the scriptures, right? But we really have to look for solutions in the right way. And, you know, one of the ways that my eyes was opened up to this, and it was actually kind of in that same time period, you know, if we go back to 2010 for me, maybe 2011 at this point in time, I was in a meeting and we were talking about problems and solutions. And I ended up hearing about this organization that was trying to deal with basically the challenge of too many people in prison. And one of the things that this particular organization did to try and address that challenge was to work on third grade reading rates. Because one of the things they found out when they do studies is that that's one of the determining factors for people who are kind of planning out to understand is that how well children are reading in third grade, there's a direct correlation to, you know, kind of where they're at 10 years later. And so again, looking for solutions in the right way, in the right place. And I think, you know, God has given us the family. When we go back to the creation, right? The very first thing he does in terms of kind of setting up systems or as we call estates is he gives Eve to Adam and he creates a family. And this is the foundational building block for all of society, all of the world.
Right.
You have 5 children and a wonderful wife. How do you, as a family unit of the 7 of you, implement some of these things in your own home? And even, you know, what starting out when you kind of realized that this was something you really wanted to spend extra time on when your oldest was 5 to now that she's 20?
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for asking. So, you know, a few different ways to answer that. Again, my wife and I were blessed by the Lord to be doing some good things even before my daughter, you know, when my daughter was 5, even before that point in time. So again, we were speaking the gospel to one another every night, reminding one another of the fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and he rose again to give us new life. We were saying that all the time. We were saying Luther's evening prayer every night. And then we were also singing a couple of hymns and then certainly Bible reading and discussions about Jesus and God's word and the faith in home as well. But it lacked a little bit of intentionality. So, you know, one of the things as I started to explore in this category, I started to find people who are out there who are talking about what family discipleship looks like and how it can be implemented. And one of the people I ended up listening to was talking about core things that every family should do together. And, you know, I've come to believe that these are all important things to do. You know, quite honestly, they're not always easy things to do, but I do believe they're important things to do. And he would talk about the fact that a family should read together. And by that, he meant read God's word, read scripture together. He would talk about memorizing together, and certainly we could talk about memorizing Bible passages, but we could also talk about what we confess, right? The Apostles' Creed, things along those lines, 10 Commandments. And, you know, that's some of my practice now, and we can get into that in a little bit. But he would talk about how we should pray together. And, you know, Luther actually gives us this in the Small Catechism. You know, a lot of times we talk about the six chief parts of the small catechism, and there's good reason to do that. But when we do that, sometimes we confuse people and they don't understand there's actually nine parts of the catechism. And one of the parts of the catechism is daily prayers for families. So that's, you know, something to do together as well. And then this last one is one that I think challenges people a little bit more, but I do believe it's important, and that is to sing together. And, you know, I'll say a few things about this. Number one is God gives us a great treasure in the gift of music. Number two, when we teach young people anything, we often associate it with words. So like when we teach our children letters, we teach them the ABC song, right? It's a good teaching tool. But then just firsthand, and, you know, I wasn't always the person who kind of had it right or had the right thinking on this, but I'll just tell you that my mom passed away several years ago. And on the day that my mom passed away, my sister was continually singing hymns in the hospital room where my mom passed away. And I treasure that so much that my sister started that and led us in that and had us doing it repeatedly on that day. I just can't think of a better way to have made use of that time with those last few minutes with my mom than singing hymns that we had sung together in church for years.
What a great picture. So what would you say to, and I know you've had folks that have asked you this because I know they've asked me this kind of, Pastor, we don't sing. What would you say to those families that maybe don't think they can sing or struggle with musical gifts in their family?
Well, if you struggle with musical gifts, you're not alone. I join you in that. I'm not the greatest singer either. But I would say that, you know, God's word calls us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, right? And there's so many places in the Psalms where we're, you know, singing is commended to us. I'd also say, by the way, praying out loud is commended to us in the Psalm. To do things out loud, so often we do things in our head, and there's a time and a place for that. But this making a noise and a joyful noise to the Lord, I think, is so important. The other thing I'd say is it's just a handful of people, and these are the people you're closest to in the world. You don't need to, you know, be a professional musician to do this. And then, I would offer just a couple of practical tools. Number one, stay with basic stuff that's easy for you to do, right? Before you, you know, try and do really, really hard stuff. If you know Jesus loves me, sing Jesus loves me. If you know, I know that my Redeemer lives, sing I know that my Redeemer lives. You know, you can kind of stay with some, you know, easier stuff to start with. And then there's actually a lot of tools out there, frankly, for like hymn tunes and hymns themselves. YouTube can be quite helpful.
Yeah, technology is a tool, right? It's how we use it that makes it good or bad. So yeah, thanks for that. So when, just one follow-up question on that. Just, you started this when your oldest was 5, and you said she's now 20. How has that changed? And if somebody's jumping into that with older kids, because sometimes people say family ministry and they think, oh, parents with young kids. And we're meaning, no, this is for all families, no matter if you have kids in your household or not. If they're jumping in and they don't have kids or their kids are older, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would just say, well, Andy, I know you know this stuff, you probably do as well, but one of the rites that we have as pastors that we use quite often in our agenda references God's word. And I don't have the exact verse, but maybe Andy, you can help me out with this. It says that all things are blessed or sanctified by the word of God and by prayer, right? And we want our homes to be blessed. And so if we want blessed, sanctified homes, God's word is what does that. God's word and prayer does that. And so, you know, my encouragement would be, no matter how young or old, to be doing this in your home. And, you know, I'd say too, just like with the hymns, if there are certain parts of this that sound difficult or intimidating, stay with what's simple. Like, just take a first step. Just say the Lord's Prayer together to start, and you can go from there. You know, one of the things we didn't talk about is, I kind of talked about the ideal with my family, what we try and do, but so often we miss the ideal too, and we don't do what we should on a daily basis. And we've really started working on this practice that, you know, we set this ideal of, we're going to try and make as much of our home life reflect what happens in church. We're going to sing and pray and read and memorize together. We're going to confess together. We're going to confess our sins to one another and forgive one another. But sometimes we don't on a particular day. And so our new approach is to try and say, if we didn't get that done kind of in a fuller way, to just say the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, and the Lord's Prayer together on a daily basis. So it doesn't, I mean, obviously kind of more is better, but even just a little bit is very helpful.
And I think to have that grace for yourselves that God freely gives to us when life happens, you know, it's you got a late ball game or something else that went on and you're coming home late. It's hard to get some of those things. And if you're doing that before bedtime or crazy early morning, if you're normally doing that in the morning, just to have grace in the midst of those things. And I always talked about with habits, if you miss a day, just because you missed a day of eating doesn't mean you don't stop eating forever. So jump right back in the next day. And maybe you need an extra helping because you didn't have enough nutrients the day before. So yeah, very, very helpful.
Can I recap so far? Because what I'm loving everything that we're getting to talk about. What I don't want people listening to feel is discouragement because it sounds overwhelming. You talked, Dan, about when your kids were 5 and 1, your oldest. What we were doing at the start was just, and it sounded like a lot, probably for a lot of people. It's like, oh man, I feel like I'm doing good if I say, you know, prayers before a meal. But you guys were already doing hymns and Luther's evening prayer and praying together. So for people who are at a very entry level, if I could say, who are just dipping their foot in the pool because for better or worse, we didn't think about the need for intentionality. And I'm equally as in that camp as anyone else. Give us a way that we can enter, as you said, because what you're talking about is the ideal or what you hope. But for people, again, just starting out, whether their kid is a newborn or shoot, I didn't think about this till they were 15. What would you say?
Yeah, so I would say a few different things. It really depends, I think, on how young or new you are at being a parent versus how old. Although, you know, maybe I need to unpack that a little bit. I'll share another story. I was at a conference that was, again, talking about family ministry, family discipleship. And one of the gentlemen who was a father in the audience was quite convicted by what was said from the main speaker. And he had asked the main speaker, hey, I've come to accept or believe over the last day of you talking about this that I've missed the mark and I'm trying to get there, but I've got kids who are a little rebellious right now. And he was saying something along the lines of, I don't see any way that I could get this done with my teenage children since I haven't done this for the last 15 years or 16 years or whatever it was. And I'll admit that while the speaker was captivating, this is a different speaker than I'd mentioned before, the speaker was also captivating. He wasn't Lutheran, and unfortunately, the solution that he gave to the father, I thought, was inadequate. He basically said, you're a dad, be the dad, do it, end of story. And I think this is where being a Lutheran helps us and having this Lutheran perspective, because I think the way to start in that case is actually, you know, to try and start. And if there is some pushback from teenage children, I think it's actually appropriate to confess your sin to your child and to say, I am sorry, son, or I am sorry, daughter. I should have been doing this more. I should have, you know, worked on this. However, the Lord forgives me. I'm asking for your forgiveness. And I know the Lord lets us start new each day. You know, that's actually one of the, you know, we talked about the Luther evening prayer. I actually have come to love the evening and the morning prayer and the pattern that they establish, right? That we confess our sins every night and that in the morning we start with this incredible hopefulness and optimism, right? That the Lord would bless all of our efforts and help us to live sanctified lives. And we say this every morning if we say the morning prayer. And then when we say the evening prayer, we confess our sin. This is the pattern of the Christian life, right? Martin Luther references this in his first thesis of the 95 Theses. When our Lord calls us to repent, that would be a life of repentance. That's what it is for us who are, you know, stuck with or bound with original sin, even as the Lord has forgiven us and has redeemed us and made us his own. This side of heaven, there will always be need for us to repent. So, you know, if you're a discouraged parent of teenagers because this is really convicting you, I'd say I had plenty of sins to confess with my 5-year-old. child. And I've been working on this for 15 years and trying to do this well. And I still have sins to confess every day about what I haven't done as a father. So rejoice in the grace that God has given you in Jesus Christ. Confess your sins and then take up the calling that God has given you. That's what I'd say to the teenager, to the you know, parent of young children. You still have sins to confess, certainly, but you might not be dealing with a rebellion. You might just start small, right? Make sure to say one of your favorite Bible passages to your child. When you're rocking them in the chair, just sing one of your favorite hymns. And it's just you and your baby at that point in time. I did this several times without my wife knowing it. I told you I'm not a very good musician. My wife sings very well. I didn't like to sing in front of my wife. So, you know, my wife was upstairs taking a nap and I would rock my child and I'd sing, you know, the first verse of Abide With Me or something like that. You know, you can start small. It doesn't have to be, I need to get this perfect today. You know, I'd also say in starting small, one of the things that I came to really appreciate doing family devotions and working on this family discipleship is that while it sounds like a lot, it's a lot smaller time commitment than you realize. I mean, just like if you talk about what I said, we're trying to say the Ten Commandments, Apostles' Creed, and Lord's Prayer every day where we don't kind of do our fuller plan. That's like a minute or a minute and a half. It's very doable.
True story. No, I agree.
So,
yeah. And I think I'd just add to that as well as you're thinking about that of, you know, most of us as parents are already working on trying to develop routines, especially with young kids. And so what's something that's part of your routine already? If you're reading a bedtime story with your kid, just have the last one be from a Bible storybook or from the actual Bible. And that's a great way to start bringing that into just taking something you're already doing and just to be intentional. I think you used that word earlier of bringing God and our faith into that and speaking for the Lord in that. So I just want to switch gears for one more question here before we kind of close up, but we have the culture around us, and we look at that. We see the decline of participation in church attendance, especially in mainline denominations. We've seen that. We also see the decline of family, of marriage. What's the relationship between the two, and where do we find hope even in the midst of that?
You know what I'd say about that is that the relationship between the two is that these are both gifts from God. You know, oftentimes pastors talk about the estates that God has created. So when we talk about the three estates that God has given us, we talk about the family and the church and the government or society. And so if we just think about it in terms of the two that you mentioned there, the family and the church, these gifts from God are underappreciated by a people for lack of thankfulness. There's a lack of recognition for God and who he is and what he's given to us and what he does for us. And so as a result of this, there has been a little bit of a turning away, more than a little bit. There's been some turning away from these great gifts from God. And I think that's some of the parallel between the two, is that rather than seeking the Lord's word and his order, it's so easy for us to get focused on ourselves or to get distracted by the things of this world and to lose sight of just how important his gifts are. Certainly in Jesus Christ are, but even beyond that, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's part of the reason why we go to church week after week. And then also the gift that we have of family, right? And, especially when families are going through challenges, mine goes through challenges just like anybody else's. Sometimes it can be harder to thank God for your spouse or your children or whatever. And when that happens, I guess it's just so easy for us to lose sight of the fact that these people are really God's gift to me, and that's a wonderful thing. And I'd say, you know, if, you know, you're in a household where you're single, I would like to say that, again, go back to what I said before, your house is blessed and sanctified as you have God's word and prayer there. In addition to that, no Christian is truly alone. Number one, they have Christ with them. Number two, I think there's lots that could be said about kind of how the American culture thinks of family versus how we should talk about households. You know, there's kind of a broader understanding of family. And then you also have the church family around. And so, you know, kind of finishing up on the last part of that question, you ask, where do we find hope? I think it's very clear that we find hope in Jesus Christ and what God has done for us. And I'll tell you that my favorite Bible passage has become 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 and 9. And honestly, this became my favorite Bible passage when we go back to that time in my life around 2010, and I was discovering these things about family ministry and family discipleship. And I was going through a hard time in a number of ways. And I came to appreciate what Paul writes. Again, 2 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9. Paul says, "We were so hard pressed that we despaired of everything, even life itself. But that was to teach us to trust in the God who raises the dead. In him we have put our hope and we will not be disappointed." Right? So this is, again, the idea. Where do we find hope? Hope is only found in Christ. If our hopes are in anything else, we will be disappointed.
Right. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. You have given us a lot of encouragement so far. How would you not only encourage individual households, families, but how would you encourage the church in this effort?
I would say one thing would be to encourage and even challenge families to do this work. And I know there's a little bit of a challenge there, but I think we all need a little bit of that in our lives. You know, if we go back to what a family is, one of the greatest blessings in my life is that my wife challenges me on some things, right? If I was just left to my own devices, I would think I'm the greatest person in the world, right? But my wife challenges me. So challenge your families. But then don't just challenge them, right? Provide tools to help them out. Offer encouragement. And then when they're brokenhearted about something didn't go right in their family, or I'm feeling so bad that we haven't got this particular thing right, offer them the grace of God that's found in Jesus Christ, right? Remind them that there is forgiveness. You can start anew. This is what Jesus says to Nicodemus. This is what we say in Luther's morning prayer. We start anew in the grace of God. And so we seek to live as God's people and as God's children each new day that he gives us.
Thanks, Dan. One last question here. If you could encourage families now, not just congregations, but families to do one thing to help them grow in their faith, what would that be?
I would say start with daily prayer. Okay. And it's great to just pray, you know, in thankfulness for what the Lord's given you, maybe without a script. But if that's intimidating to you, just use some of the prayers that are already available to you. The Lord's Prayer, Luther's Morning and Evening Prayer. There are simple orders for prayer in the hymnal. And you don't have to come up with it on your own. Just start with prayer. And I think it grows from there. Then you get to God's Word. Then you get to the memorization. Then maybe you get to the singing and all along confessing your sins to one another. So do something today and try and make that a habit and try and build from there.
Great. Thank you.
So let's end where we started off. You should still send your kids to Sunday school, right, Dan?
That is correct.
Okay, it just shouldn't be a substitute for what we do in the home.
That's exactly right. Because, again, as I was trying to say before, there are great blessings in your children getting more of God's word as much as possible. There are also great blessings in other adults speaking God's word to your children, right? But it, like you said, it just can't replace dad or mom or those who are responsible for young people saying that in their home as well.
Dan, it's been a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to visit with you about this.
Thanks for listening to God's Mission Here.
Thanks for joining us. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so that you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. God's Mission Here is a podcast that discusses Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and how he delivers those gifts where you live and serve.